Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, following part one of the Leadership Disruptors study in the banking sector, Russell Reynolds Associates has released part two of the four-part series, which looks into how banks can change how they analyze and develop talent to drive effective leadership in banks, force digital acceleration, growing trends in sustainability, and a larger social awakening are disrupting traditional leadership agendas. So how can the banking industry develop its existing talent to meet the needs of the current era? For more insights, we speak to Jin Go, Executive Director, Russell Reynolds Associates. She also leads the FinTech Digital Practice in Asia for Russell Reynolds. Jin, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me, Howie.
Pleasure's all ours. Let's start with some of the challenges banks face in, say, assessing, nurturing, identifying new talent. And why does how they're doing it now need to change, Jin?
First, I think it's important for us to look at the context. As we know, in the past two decades, it's been a period of tremendous change. And the banking sector has seen a number of major financial crises. So more than ever before, we see banks facing increased regulatory controls, risk compliance monitoring, and cost pressures. And all of these has created an environment where banking leaders are required to be more cautious and tend to lack boldness, therefore, in leadership. So in fact, in one of the recent studies that Russell Reynolds did in benchmarking 6,000 executives across various sectors, banking leaders have consistently lagged behind their peers when it comes to innovation and inclusion. So I think it's not surprising to anyone that this is a moment in time where they really need to change and really need to start thinking about how to nurture and identify new talent.
Safe to say the pandemic really pushed things to the fore and made it necessary, no longer I do it down the line maybe.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the change that's necessary then. How do things need to change, so to speak, and how different will it be, that change, to how things are being done now, Jin?
Right. So I think a couple of things really need to change. First, it's around the whole mindset. Up until now, I think, even when banks are trying to attract and develop new types of talent, we can't avoid the fact that like attracts like. And it's easy to fall back into the familiarity and the ease of understanding another resume, another background and track record that's similar to yourself. So I think it's important for banking leaders today to have that open-mindedness and that eagerness and interest to understand what good looks like outside of their traditional mindset. Secondly, it's also important to start having more role models or more examples of what success can look like if someone takes the leap and jump into the banking sector. So far too often, we also see a bit of a stereotyping from the other side of the spectrum where individuals coming from more innovative backgrounds, non-traditional backgrounds, tend to say, no, I'm not going to consider that banking opportunity because they will try to fit me into a box if I join. I think we also need to educate these individuals that the times are changing. The banks have a lot of interesting work that they are trying to push through and require talent like themselves to come in and help.
Feels a bit chicken or egg kind of situation, Jin, if you will. Which should come first? Who's going to take the risk?
I think it's definitely a bit of a chicken and egg. And at the risk of being a little bit biased towards candidates and talent, right? Because it is a war for talent. I do think employers need to take the first step. Some of the most successful banks we've seen out there that have driven a lot more innovation than their peers, what they have done is they have actually really made a deliberate and conscious decision to open the aperture when they are looking for new talent. So like myself, you know, I've worked with clients who explicitly say that, let's just look at people who actually do not know banking. I do not need anybody who knows banking because I have enough subject matter experts within the banks who can support and complement these individuals. So show me and introduce us to the ones who do not have these traditional backgrounds and have new ideas to share with us, right? So it's really that deliberate choice. Second, I also feel like from a structural point of view, banks and organizations have a lot more room and more degrees of freedom to help individuals succeed, right? Versus when an individual take on a new job, that is it. But for a bank, they can consciously design and think about which areas in the bank would allow such individuals to flourish. And truth be told, it's not going to be in every area. So for example, in a risk area, in a compliance area where you need deep expertise outside the box or someone without that experience is not going to work. So let's not try to, you know, try to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
But in areas such as in venture arms, right, in new divisions that are driving transformations, in, you know, areas where they are trying to innovate new operating models, these are areas where we feel like banks have the design choices to place new talent into, and the chances of what we call tissue rejection is going to be much lower. So again, I think I put the onus in onto the organization and the employers, if you can tell.
We're speaking with Jin Goh, Executive Director, Russell Reynolds Associate. She also leads the FinTech digital practice in Asia for Russell Reynolds. So Jin, how to assess which areas need to be innovative, I suppose, is the question.
Right. All areas should be innovative within the pace that makes sense for them, right? So certain areas, for example, the more consumer-facing ones where they're under tremendous pressure by, say, fintechs, they tend to face a lot more external pressure to change faster. Some other areas need to be just a little bit more conservative because banks are still trusted pillars, right, of the society when it comes to financial safety and compliance requirements. So it's more the pace of innovation versus the need to innovate, which I think they would all need to. But
then
on
next
the
question
point of,
would be then, Jin, how to assess innovativeness in a person?
How to assess innovativeness? That's a great question.
Because I could put, I am innovative on my CV, but why would you believe me?
Excellent question, how we actually... Indeed, that's been our observation over the years on how organizations, not just banks, right, have tried to assess for what we could say, quote unquote, these softer measures, like what you say. So often when we look at performance appraisals, it's a whole section of very quantitative KPIs and targets. You know very well where you've done really well, right, and where you haven't hit the target. But when it comes to softer aspects like leadership, like teamwork, it's typically very open-ended, very qualitative, right? Very much subjective even. So how we have been helping organizations, and many organizations have actually taken the step to do it, is to put a bit of a science behind what we mean by being an innovative leader. So we have partnered with Hogan, and again, there are many other tools like that, where we've come up with this proprietary tool called the Leadership Span Tool. So the Leadership Span Tool actually assesses four core dimensions of what makes a good and innovative leader, from setting strategy to executing for results, to leading teams and building relationships. And you can imagine that when someone does the assessment tool, and then it's being mapped against a global database of over 5 million responses, very quickly you actually know where you are stacked against the others, whether it's by region, by role, by industry. You could tell where you are. And it's almost a little bit like a score, right? A scorecard to tell yourself and for your mentors to say, where are the strengths, where you can harness, and where are the gaps that you need to just pay a bit more attention towards. So we found that this really then enable us to help leaders become more innovative and help innovative leaders also become a little bit more pragmatic and become a what we call a positive disruptor versus just being a disruptor, per se.
How accessible are these solutions, though? Say, in particular, the leadership span tool that you just talked about for, say, smaller entities.
Right. There are, again, many, many variations of such tools in the market. And for smaller companies, there will be more less bespoke arrangement, right? Because for bigger companies, often it's not just the tool. The tool only forms the first part, which is a diagnostic of current state of affairs. But beyond that is a lot more about the intervention programs, the executive coaching, the mentoring that goes with that. And for smaller companies, my suggestion is to go more bite-sized and to first have an understanding of where is your baseline and what are the lower hanging fruits that can be done either in-house or with some lesser sort of extent of external help, and then to build from there. Again, success begets success. It's just a question of, you know, getting started.
All right, Jin, thank you so much for your insights today, and please stay safe.
Well, thank you very much, Howie.
Jin Go, Executive Director, Russell Reynolds Associates. She also leads the FinTech Digital Practice in Asia for Russell Reynolds. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.